the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud, and this is our Torah tidbit, which is taken from the portion called Vesot HaBerecha. And that means, and this is the blessing. This portion describes what happened on the very last day of Moses' life. And because this is the last Torah portion, this is the one that is typically read on Simchat Torah, or rejoicing in the Torah, when the annual Torah reading cycle is completed. Simchat Torah comes at the end of the feast called Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And so then, it marks the time when the Torah scroll, which has been read all through the year, is then rolled back to the beginning. So let's begin in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. Now this is the blessing, Vesot HaBerecha. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. Now, following in the tradition that was established years before by Jacob, Moses goes through the camp from tribe to tribe, blessing each of them. The blessings describe Israel's ultimate destiny as determined by God. And this is Moses' last act, by and large. That is, to bless the people who were, indirectly anyway, responsible for his transgression, which then made it impossible for him to cross over into the land. And so that's important, I think, to note, because when others might have been tempted to curse those people, he decided to bless them. Because if you think about it, he could do no less than Bilam, that is, the one who sought to curse Israel, but could only bless them. Now, the blessing is directed to the entire nation, because he says to the children of Israel, but he gets very specific with each tribe. You could say that each tribe's success was crucial for the overall welfare and success of the nation at large. And so, also like Jacob, Moses combined prophecy with these blessings. Now, there are many interesting points in those individual blessings and prophecies, but we're not going to focus on that. Instead, we're going to focus on something that he said before he got to the prophecies, and that is this, as recorded in verse 2, the Lord came from Sinai. At or from his right hand came a fiery law. Now, Mount Sinai was the starting point of the revelation that was given to Israel. And according to Moses, it is with his right hand that God presents this fiery law. When God presented the covenant to Israel at Sinai, it was amidst this display of fire and lightning and thunderings. And it might be that this fact is hinted at the very beginning of Scripture with the very first word, that is, Bereshit, which means in the beginning. Because if we take the Hebrew rendering of that word and rearrange the letters just a little bit, Bereshit becomes Brit Esh, or covenant of fire. Interestingly, through the prophet Jeremiah, God said this, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? Now, it's understood that the phrase right hand, that denotes power and authority. It is with his right hand that Jacob blessed Ephraim, thus putting him over his older brother Manasseh. You remember that story in the book of Genesis. The psalmist said this in Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now, here's why I felt that it was important to highlight this particular statement and component of our Torah portion. Because at the right hand of God is where Yeshua is seated or positioned. And here are just a few verses that note this. First of all, when Peter and other of the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin, they testified of this fact that Yeshua is at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 5. God has exalted him to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, later on in the book of Acts, the martyr Stephen said this, beginning in verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God and said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And to call him the Son of Man there alludes to something that Daniel said. Now, Yeshua himself made this connection when he posed this question in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 42. What do you think about the Messiah? He asked these religious people. Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, referring to the Messiah, how is he his son? So my point in reading these verses is to point out that God's right hand, that which presented his fiery law, hints at Yeshua, who is the Word made flesh, who was in the beginning, Bereshit. Now let's consider this statement. In verse 4 of chapter 33, it says this, Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. The Hebrew word here that is translated as heritage is morasha. If I were to juxtapose heritage with another rendering of the same Hebrew word, inheritance, we could make this point. An inheritance may be spent or might even be sold off by an heir at their discretion. But a heritage, morasha, is an estate, and it has to be preserved for future generations. It has to remain in the family, in other words. In this case, the Torah is the heritage, and that is intended for the family of God. And it's intended that it be transmitted from generation to generation. Now, this Hebrew word morasha is related to another very interesting word, and that is meorasa. And meorasa means married. In other words, Israel, God's people, are to be married to the Torah, this fiery law. And if we see that Yeshua is the living Torah, he is the Word made flesh, then Israel is his bride. Now, linking this thought to what is stated in verse 5, which says, And he was king in Yeshurun, God becomes Israel's king when they embrace his fiery law, the Torah. When Israel recognizes God's authority and when they recognize his fiery law is delivered by his right hand, he is king. Because you have to understand, a king without authority, in this case the Torah, isn't a king at all. So to believe in God but not his Torah, in a way, is to deny that God is king. And so then, considering the Messiah is the Torah personified, embracing him is to acknowledge that God is sovereign. Furthermore, considering that Yeshua is at his right hand, and that is which denotes power, it expresses his authority, then we could say this, Messiah Yeshua is the king in Yeshurun. And it is with that understanding that we look at one of the last things Moses said to Israel before leaving them. It's recorded in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33. There is no one like the God of Yeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. So I hope you follow me through all of that, because it's all to lead us to the Messiah. And so, just as the end of the Torah scroll is read and then rolled back to the beginning, we come to the end of Moses' tenure, and then it is only fitting that in one of his last statements, one of the last things he did, he provokes us to roll back and to acknowledge the one who is in the beginning, but who is also the end, who is the first and last, the King in Yeshurun, who is seated at the right hand of the Most High. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is he who presented that fiery law. And so we come to the end of this Torah portion, the end of the Torah, and the end of this Torah tidbit. I want to thank you for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.